Welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus Christ. Our services are online every Sunday at 10 o'clock. You can find them on our YouTube channel. You can also find more information about us at gotothewell.church or find us on Facebook. And remember, you are loved.
Good to see you today. I am glad you're here. Can we give it up for our incredible worship team, our camera crew? If you're in the building or out there, I want to hear you. If you're online, do a big shout out there in the chat. They just go above and beyond. And Jacob, you sat down real quick. Can you actually bring your camera over here real quick? I know I didn't tell you that I'm going to do this. But guess what I am? Don't turn it on. You can actually disconnect it. I want to show everyone at home something. Yeah. This is Jacob. It's his birthday today too. Come on now. But I want to show this to you. Simply this. And I don't know if Danny, if you can come in on this. This is a camera, right? This is just as much as a worship instrument as that guitar and keyboard behind me. Come on now. I want you to see this because this is one of the ways that God has provided and brought technology our way, and not only technology, but the amazing personnel to operate it that brings worship and the Word to your home every single Sunday. And I just wanted to highlight that because when you begin to come into service, you're going to see our camera crew all around the sanctuary, on the stage, because it is an instrument of worship. And I just wanted to introduce you to that idea because it's just so cool. I was just thinking about a lot today. And Jacob, you're absolutely incredible. Happy birthday. So thank you for being a fantastic hand model for us today. Thank you, my friend. Let's make sure I hit my mic. So good to see you. We are continuing our series in what we called Crazy, from conspiracy to courage. We're already moving from courage to conspiracy. Now it's time to turn around, right? Man, Jacob, you are a man of many trades and talents. Thank you, sir. Thank you for that. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Revelation. It's one of the easiest books to find in your Bible. It is literally the last book. If you find the glossary or the index, you went too far. It's the last book, and we are going to be in chapter 3 today. I know you're like, well, there's so many chapters. Christmas is almost coming. Are we ever going to get to the book of Revelation? Probably not all of it, but we're going to get to some of the big ideas behind it. So if you have your Bible, if you have your note-taking device, make sure that we're going to hold this up. Lord God, we thank you for your word. Would you use it to speak to us today? In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let us know that you're in the comment section. Let us know where you're joining us from. I know we have a lot here in LA County, Southern California, but I know we have many from all over the country, and so we want to hear from you. We are so thankful for you. And we'll see, it started raining here in Artesia, so we opened all the doors in our cafe, created a bunch of airflow in there, and we moved our courtyard service in there. So I'm going to see if I can do this. If you're in the courtyard, make a really loud noise so I can hear you. And ready? 3, 2, 1, go. Hey! Oh, man, we are so thankful for you. Man, if you are at home next week, you can come out here to the courtyard, be a part of seeing people again. You are welcome to do that. We've got contingencies if it rains and all that fun stuff. But, man, it is so good to be with you today. So we are jumping in. We already know that we were talking about crazy, how we are in the last days. Things are a little crazy. And I just, what's funny is, not funny, but we are experiencing a lot now, right? There's a lot. But this isn't anything new. Aaron and I were just watching a movie last night, right? Talking about the different riots in the late 60s. And it was just like, man, our riots are tamed compared to those riots. Like, there's a lot going on. And each generation has something that really causes us to wonder, is this really it? Is there something more to our life than what we thought it was? And when something comes and disrupts it, we go, hold on now, this is crazy. And if we don't fill it with truth, and information, our mind's going to try to fill in the blanks, and that's where we get the idea of conspiracies from. Now, there are some conspiracies that are true. We're not saying that. We're not saying just listen blindly and obey blindly. We get to ask questions and participate in our process and things like that. But our motive should never be out of paranoia or panic or fear. We get to walk in courage. And so we introduce you all to the seven churches somewhere on here that will show up. Introduce you to the seven churches. We talked about Ephesus, learning that they need to love people again. And then we learned about Smyrna, be faithful. We learned about Pergamum. I always think this is British because it's mum, get it? Because mom, anyway. Learn to discern. Then Thyatira, that's always just fun to say. Sounds like Tyra Banks. God says that sin has consequences. And what we've all learned is we don't like consequences. And so we try to avoid them. And God actually wants to use our consequences to grow us because he's for us and not against us. Isn't that good news? I could just say that right now and be done. But I'm not going to. What we're going to talk about today is I want you and I to make a decision to become obsessed with Jesus. Obsessed. I'm not saying, I want you to like Jesus. I want you to fall in love with Jesus today. No, to become obsessed with him. So we're gonna actually look at two churches today. You got a two-for-one deal today. Buy one, get one free right here. We're going to split up chapter 3, the first and the second half. Then we're going to finish the seven churches next week with the city of Philadelphia. And we'll get to that. But today we're talking about Sardis, and we're talking about Laodicea. So Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 through 6 says, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write the words of him who have the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have the reputation. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead." How many of you like that reputation? Right? This is like, it's your reputation is better than reality. If you've ever been on a dating app, I've never been on a dating app because I fortunately got married before the information revolution. I don't know how any of you do it with dating online. Many of you have found great love through it, but in your experiences, did you ever have a time, okay? Jessica, I'm going to be asking you right here. Did you ever have a time where you met someone online and their picture did not match who it really was? No? No? Maybe? Okay. Well, this is that opportunity. It's like, wow, you don't look like what you said that you are. Your reputation is better than reality. That's what Jesus is saying about this church. It says, "Remember then when you received and heard, keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come against you. Yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments." Oh, come on, Jesus. "And they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The only one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before the Father and before the angels, and he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And so that's why it's important that we have an ear to hear to what the Lord is saying to that church, because it means it's saying it to us too. And this is the thing about Sardis. I'll give you a little bit of history. There's a very interesting thing that Jesus uses in reference to the city. It's a thief in the night. I don't know about you, but I think my refrigerator is out to kill me because if I hear the ice machine at 3 a.m., I think it's someone who's breaking in. Well, this is literally a reference to a part of Sardis's history and culture. See, Sardis used to be one of the wealthiest cities in the now modern day Turkey. They built a massive amount of wealth. And in order to protect this wealth, they built giant walls around their city. You could not get in. This is like Lord of the Rings status. You cannot get in. Okay? So what happens when Syria came through to conquer this area, they could not take over the city. So they camped around the city, and their strategy was, let's just wait and watch the city. Well, one day, a Sardis soldier leaned over the wall and his helmet fell off the wall. So what they did in the middle of the night is the Sardis army, they built a secret entrance and they built little stairs down so they could retrieve the helmet. The problem is they didn't take the stairs down or seal up the entrance again. So as Ceres was watching this, as soon as they retrieved the helmet, they saw their way in, and they got in the middle of the night, and no one was expecting it. Completely caught off guard, and the city was destroyed. It says by the end of the when they destroyed the city, there were bodies hanging from the walls to remind anyone passes by that there is always an opportunity to get into impregnable fortress. What happened? They become complacent. They became so comfortable that they decided to sacrifice something else because they thought they were unreachable, unbeatable. The thing is, Sardis and this next in the Church of Laodicea have so much in common. I wanted to put them together and because they have the same application. Now, but Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 19, the Church of Laodicea, is a little bit more familiar. You're going to hear some verses that you're familiar with. It says, and to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the amen, so that means the agreement, the end, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of God's creation. So he's saying he's the Alpha, the Omega. I'm there at the end, I was there at the beginning. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot, so that because you are lukewarm, you are neither hot nor cold. Sounds like a Katy Perry song. I will spit you out of my mouth. Have you ever had like a hot cup of coffee? You're like, this is a nice hot cup of coffee. Or have you ever had an iced coffee? You're like, okay, it's supposed to be iced. But have you ever had any of those things sit in your car for 6 hours? You come back and you just go for it. It's gross, right? What do? You spit it out of your mouth. Like, it's disgusting. Or you have to have ice water. Heaven forbid you have room temperature water. You're like, oh, this is gross. And it's like the liquid of life. It's gross. It does not hot nor cold. And Jesus is comparing this to the church. He goes, you're not hot. You're not hot coffee or iced coffee. You're something gross that got left in the car. I'm gonna spit it out. Because you can't even decide if you're for me or you're against me. You're just kind of like, whatever's popular in the moment, whatever suits me in the moment. In verse 17, it says, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Because you're rich. You think you're rich. You think you're wealthy. But man, you don't know what you really are. Your reputation is better than your reality. And this is why it's so important that we recognize material wealth is good, but it cannot be the goal in life. See, you can experience poverty in three ways. Material poverty, emotional poverty, and spiritual poverty. What happens when you don't begin to address all three of those things, again, you could be the richest man in the world, but if you're emotionally impoverished and spiritually impoverished, it doesn't matter. It's where we get the story of the young rich ruler. Yeah, he's very religious. Very wealthy, but he had no depth. He was impoverished. Verse 18 says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself in shame of your nakedness and may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. If you want to buy something from me. If you want something of value, something of worth, come get it from me. Because you are not going to find the fulfillment that you are looking for other places. It's only making you lukewarm. And Jesus likes his coffee hot or cold. Let me give you a little bit of background later to see why this is so important. It's a booming economy. It's a banking center. Think of modern day New York. They've got Wall Street right there. But in 17 AD, there was a massive earthquake that destroyed everything. Everything in the city. And most cities, like what we're going to learn next week, Philadelphia, they had to ask Rome, hey, can we have some money to rebuild our city? Laodicea said, no, we're good. We don't need your help. We've got it all covered. This is how much money they had. It was a great place to live. Weather like Los Angeles. Like I said, banking center, shopping, Fifth Avenue all the time. All about the material, all about fashion, all about just the outside world. Just whatever looks good, great. But the problem with Laodicea, just like the city of Los Angeles, is we don't have our own natural water source. I don't know if you knew that. We don't own any of our water. We have to get it brought in from Colorado or other places. And that's the same thing with Laodicea. They created these giant aqueducts so they could bring water from a cool spring. But by the time it got to them, it was lukewarm. And so they did put in a lot of work so that they can either have it hot or cold. And so no one in Laodicea liked lukewarm water either. So when Jesus says this language to them, they get it. Get it, like, I don't want it to be lukewarm. Both in Sardis and in Laodicea, their comfort and their wealth led the church to become complacent in their comforts and oblivious to the true value of their life. This is why this letter is so crucial for us to understand. These two churches are the churches that most identify as the Western church, the American church, us. Where we've become so comfortable in our wealth, we're so comfortable in our extracurricular activities, we're so comfortable in this is how I do my life, and I'm gonna let Jesus fit in where it best suits me. And we've become lukewarm. We've become lukewarm. So at this moment, what's going to tend to happen, some of you are going to go, tell me more. Others of you are going to get defensive, go, oh, let's see what else is on. So my encouragement to you, can we stop and hear what Jesus has to say? Can we take the words that he spoke to the church and let him speak them to us so that we can respond? See, we cannot allow the fundamentals of our faith to be dictated by our preferences. Let me say again, we cannot allow the fundamentals of our faith to be dictated by our preferences. I'm going to invite Mason out here. We're going to show you our core values of our church. And these are values that we believe that the Lord put on our heart and our leadership and as we've progressed through. And these are things that values that create or work as tent poles for us to understand that help dictate us, bring us back to Jesus always. It's becoming word wise, living gospel love, people are God's favorite, found people, find people, better together, growing people change, generosity leads to joy, live well, lead well, save people, serve people, and led to lead. And when we are able to do those things, these are the things that help us kind of kick us, you know, in the direction that we need to go in order that we can not be lukewarm, so we can't be comfortable. Yeah, I'm going to work toward becoming word wise. I'm going to pursue living gospel love, recognizing that people are God's favorite, that we have a job to find people because I'm a found person. All these different things, that I'm a growing person, so I'm going to have to change. All these ways keep stoking the fires that we burn bright, that we burn on fire for who Jesus is. And that's why, coming back to what I said at the very beginning of this, we must become obsessed with Jesus. Obsessed with him. Our want for Jesus has to turn into a must. It's where we see Jesus at the age of 12. They're like, Jesus, where are you at? He's like, oh, I was at the temple. I must be about my father's business. See, most of us will go, let me check my calendar if it works for me to be about Jesus' business. Let me check my comfort level and my personality to see if that works with Jesus. Instead, we should be going, whatever I have to do to be around Jesus, I'm gonna do it. So number one, I want you to write this down. Actually, let's pray first. God, speak to us. We don't wanna stay the same. We wanna be transformed. If we're going to grow, we're gonna change. And so, Lord, we need you to lead us in that way. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, we must be unwavering and obsessed with our love for Jesus. Now, some of us, we need an example. I don't know about you, but in high school or junior high, that's when you kind of start noticing members of the opposite sex. You're like, oh, hello. What's up? You start dressing a little different. You start putting deodorant on. You start using Axe body spray. Apparently that's a repellent. That's like a dating repellent is what I'm understanding. Okay. But what happens is, and I don't know about this, but if you ever had that first crush, that first person you've been, or it doesn't have to be the first person, just you start kind of noticing someone, and you start to behave a little differently, right? What happens is you do everything in your power to spend your time with them. This is how I ended up at a Foursquare church, actually. I liked a girl. She went to a Foursquare church. So guess what? I'm going to a Foursquare church. Didn't know I was going to get spirit-filled and called in and start leading churches in that denomination. But we want our proximity. We want to do everything we can just be around them. I don't know about you. I remember youth group days. You're just like, you're just part of the group. Like, hey, I know she's there. I'm here. Oh, she's over here now. I'm going to jump over here. Like, you just want to always be around them. Or your energy. I don't know about you. This is before text messaging. You call, like, on a phone, like on a landline. Yeah. And I remember I was seeing this girl, I know, freshman year, and she lived in Orange County, which back then was called long distance. Okay. 562-714, different area code, all right? And we would talk and we would talk and we would talk and like, no, you go, you say bye first. No, you say bye first. You know, like you're just dumb. You know, you're just dumb. If you're in that relationship right now, it's dumb and it's cute and it's okay. You know, and I remember my dad came to me and he goes, the phone bill was over $300. He goes, man, I hope someone with a job can pay for that. And so I ended up doing a lot more chores, but I did everything in my power to spend my energy and my time, proximity, my treasures. You know how many times I walked into Sam Goody, walking to the mall home from school so I could find the perfect sticker that said like angel, you know what I mean? Or had like the little lanyard or had, you know, all those different things. I spent money that my parents gave me to buy something for my girlfriend. You know, I remember going to Mervyn's, all right, and picking up, saving $35 for that heart necklace. Okay? I had issues, I know. My attention, all I talked about was them. I didn't care about anybody. So you start, like, some of you have those friends, some of you are those friends. When you start dating someone, you no longer have contact with your friends, and they're all talking bad about you, just FYI, they are. Okay? Because all your time wants to, and all your energy and all your attention goes in. Then to the talents, like, look what I can do. You start doing a couple more push-ups because you know you're going to see them. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, look, you're playing basketball. Look what I can do. And you're like, you know, flexing. And like, you're doing all these things to get this person's attention. The worst is when your preference change. Oh, yeah, I like country music too now. Yeah. Oh, you're guilty of it. Don't be self-righteous on me. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, I like that band, too. Oh, yeah, I like wearing these clothes, too. Oh, yeah, your preferences start to change. Because why? You become obsessed. I guess nowadays, when you know someone's obsessed, they're like this. You're obsessed. You want to do everything in your power to be around them. So when you wake up in the morning, your first thought is them. When you wake up, when you go to bed, your first thought is them. There's this obsession. It doesn't have to be about a person. It could be about a food. It could be about a thing you're doing. It could be you fill in the blank. But my question is, have you ever been that way with Jesus? Have you ever spent your time, your proximity, your energy, your talents, everything in order to just be around Jesus? He's the first thing you think about when you wake up. He's the last thing you think about when you go to bed. You're spending time. You're wondering, how can I learn more about him? You're not Facebook stalking him. You're Bible stalking him. And you just go, whoa, Jesus said that. Okay, well, Jesus is like that. Oh my gosh, I didn't know this. And if you haven't, my encouragement for you is start becoming obsessed with Jesus. Learn everything you can be around him. Allow him to take your time, your energy, your treasures, your talent, all those different things. Become obsessed with him. Don't just be a fan. Don't just like him. Don't just all those things. Be obsessed with him. Number two, we must be intentional with our discipleship with Jesus. See, discipleship is not sitting at church, just FYI. Discipleship is not just listening. It actually requires your participation. It requires your feedback, your bounce back, your disagreement, your agreement, your the back and forth conversation. The encounter stage requires you to, guess what? Encounter. To wrestle with. You have to do that with people. Sunday mornings are specifically designed as a discover point. So a lot of you are really good about going to church. A lot of you are so good at watching on YouTube. But how many of you have actually being discipled? Now, some of you are being discipled in other things, but how many of you have been discipled in your obsession with Jesus? Because the reality is you will only hit what you aim for. Aaron, can you bring up Jacob, yeah, go ahead and bring that up. Perfect. And the little, yep, perfect. So this, I something I picked up a few years ago, and Jacob, you are just killing it left and right, is golf. I'm not great at it. But something that I learned, and my father-in-law is the one who's really taught me a lot of what I know. So if I did something wrong, he taught me great. If I did something wrong, I wasn't listening. But if I do something right, he's a great teacher. Okay. But one of the things he first taught me when it comes to putting, you can only hit to where your feet are pointed. So a lot of times when you come up here and you want to get situated like this, the problem is, this one thing's happening. You line up your toes and see where you're going to hit. I'm nowhere near the cup. Why? Because the way I positioned myself, I'm pointing in the wrong direction. So a lot of us in our discipleship, you are doing a lot of things in your life, but none of them actually point to your goal. Discipleship is learning to, okay, if I want to hit that goal, I need to make adjustments to my feet so that I can actually hit my goal where I want to go. Let's see if this works. Oh man, here we go, here we go. Pressure's on. Now I know what it feels like to be on the PGA Tour. Hey! Dang, that thing's loud. And so that's the idea. If some of you want to grow closer with Jesus. Thank you, Mason. You want to pursue Jesus. You want Jesus to be your obsession. But meanwhile, your feet are, you're facing this direction. You're not positioned to be obsessed with Jesus because your attention is on something else. And that's what discipleship is about, is saying, well, I want to get there, but I'm over here. How do I do it? Well, you got to do this. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, try it. Okay. Oh, I like that. Now that feels better. Okay, now try this. Okay. Oh, that's better. That feels good. Okay. Oh, well, but I want to go back this way. And this back and forth process of any coaching experience you've ever had, whether it's a golf course or whether it's just at work learning how to use a register. You need that coaching, and that's what that discipleship is, so you can learn how to do the thing that you want and accomplish in your purpose to do. Discipleship is actually very simple. The most difficult person, and Aaron tells me this, whenever we do something events, like I'm the one who's causing her the most problems because I ask way too many questions. And sometimes I just need to do what I'm told. So it's true. And some of you feel like you're starving, you're dying in your faith because you're like, I'm never getting to my goal. And my challenge for you is that might be because you're facing the wrong position, because you've set your feet up. It looks right from your perspective, but when you put a measuring tool like God's word, put a measuring tool like discipleship, measuring tool like a mentor or a coach, they're going to be easily be able to show you, oh, that's why you're facing the wrong direction. It might look right to you. Unless you invite someone into your life to teach you, you're always going to wonder why you're frustrated and suffering. And not suffering, but like feeling deprived of what you believe this Christian walk should be like. We're not too meant to do it alone. Sometimes it goes, well, I read my Bible and pray. Good job. Congratulations. That's still not discipleship. You have to get along, get with other people to stoke the fire that God is calling you and I to live out. We need one another to grow in our relationship with Jesus. With iced coffee, guess what you need to make iced coffee, iced coffee? Ice. Guess what you need to make hot coffee? Heat. And some of you are sitting around, I'm coffee, But why is everyone always spitting me out? Because you are missing the heat or the ice to make you something that God has called you to be. Number three, we must be bold in our bragging about Jesus. You know, evangelism, that's a big fancy word, right? All it is bragging. It's bragging. It's bragging about Jesus. It's going, my God's better than your God. You know, it's going, look what I've got. It's like you get a new car, you post it on Instagram, you take it to your, you know, different people's house, and you're like showing it off, all these great things with this new car, and it's so cool. And you're like, but you're obsessed with Jesus. Yeah, we'll talk to him about him later, but check this out. A lot of times, our obsession for Jesus does go away because we don't brag about him. We don't talk about the things he's doing in your life. You don't talk about the things that you're having crazy faith for. You're not talking about the ways that he can change, has changed your life and can change others' life. And so I kind of wrote this down. There's two ways, two forms of bragging about Jesus. You can attract or you can reach. This is also very good dating advice. Just FYI, all of our singles out there. Quarantine's been bad to you. It's been rude to you. But you can either attract or you can reach. Okay, Axe body spray does not work. Okay, so what's really cool is God uses the natural to accomplish the supernatural. So this is even crazy stuff. Ready? A couple ways you can attract: your lifestyle. Your lifestyle. Are you broken pieces reflecting yourself, or are you broken pieces reflecting Jesus? Either way, you're broken, right? Anyone who says, I have it all together, they just haven't shown you their brokenness yet. It will come out. I learned that. Don't put sharp things in plastic trash bags, because when it gets tight enough, they break through and they rip through the bag. Same thing with people's brokenness. How about your attitude? Are you positive or negative? Are you a positive person or a negative person? Because this is what I learned. Bees are attracted to honey, not vinegar. That's one of those things, man. Grumpy Christians have never made sense to me. I don't get why Christians can be grumpy. I get we can all have bad days. We're broken, right? But the grumpiness, I don't get just grumpy to be grumpy. The other way we can do is one of the ways we can brag about Jesus is that we reach people. This is by simply giving an invitation. One of the things I learned in becoming a team builder is never say somebody's no for them. You ever had that? Nah, they're not interested in church. Did you ask them? No, I just know them. No, you don't. You know what they projected to you. They're not going to share everything with you. Maybe you are the very thing. That one invitation to church, that one invitation to hear the story of Jesus in your life could change their life, their marriage, their family, their generation, simply because you had the courage to invite. Invitation is huge. Again, this is another way, natural way when you're dating, is I had to invite Aaron to come on a date with me. Okay, actually, how it happened, she invited me. And it was like two or three times. I'm like, fine. You've got to invite, you've got to ask, you've got to be engaged with this process. People can't read your mind. Invite them to church. Invite them to know Jesus. Invite them to hear your story. Another way is just simply you serve. You brag about Jesus by serving others just to serve, whether it's a giant tip on a check, or maybe it's going over to a neighbor's house and mowing their lawn, or maybe it's going, hey, how can I help you? Can I carry that for you? Can I open that door for you? Can I bring food over for you? Can I provide a laptop for your kids? How can we serve? All these ways Jesus represents. This is how he bragged about the kingdom. Because this is, I want to finish Revelation. This is how we're going to finish. And Jessica and Aaron, you guys can come up. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 through 22, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens that door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. And I also conquer, sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear, says to the churches. Look at this. Go ahead and go back to that first part, Nancy, on verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And that's what Jesus is doing right now. You don't have to chase Jesus to be obsessed with him. He's there. He's at your door. He's knocking right now. He's going, hello. And literally what he is saying, all you have to do is open the door. Would you allow me in? And when you allow me in, I don't just want to stay at the doorstep. I want to come in and I want to have food with you. What happens when you sit with Jesus, you're not only sitting with him, you're sitting with the Father. You're sitting with the Spirit. You're in community with God right there. And all is simple as doing is when Jesus is knocking on your heart, you say, come on in. You come on in. And I think there's two groups of people listening right now. Jesus may be knocking on your heart for the very first time. And you feel it. You hear it. You're trying to ignore it. But what would you say if the answer to all your problems, the answer to the things you're wrestling through, the answer to your purpose in life is just one door frame away? Would you open it? Would you open it? I want to pray for those right now. If you have never received Jesus in your life and you want to receive him today, whether you're in the cafe right now or whether you are watching at home, would you put a comment there in the chat, and would you just lift your hands to Jesus? And I want to pray this with you right now. God is knocking on your heart right now. You're ready to open that door to receive from him. Would you pray this with me right now in the name of Jesus? Jesus, I want to discover your love, your grace, and you for the first time today. I am far from you and want to be brought near. Thank you for dying for my sins so that I may have abundant life. Lead me all the days of my life and teach me to display your love to those around me. If that was you today, let's celebrate those giving their life to Jesus for the first time today. Make sure to comment. Make sure to click the link. We want to get to know you to begin that discipleship process. Now that we are obsessed with Jesus, now it's time to grow and develop in him. But I know there's a second group of people here where you know Jesus. You know him. But you're ignoring the knock on the door. You know that he has a plan for you. You know that he has a vision for your life. You know that there are things in your life that he wants to put ice cubes in, and you're going, no! Because of your pride, because of whatever you're going through, can I invite you? Would you just let it all go? Would you open the door and let Jesus come into your life again? If that's you, I just want you to come and I want you to stand to your feet. I want all of us to stand to our feet and I want you to come before the Lord as we take a couple moments here to just center our hearts and open that door for Jesus to enter our life again. When we do that, we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us and to fill us. So Lord, right now, as we come before you, as we're standing to our feet, we're coming to just come before you. Some of us are coming to repent. Some of us are coming to say yes to you for the first time. Others saying, Lord, I just need you. God, we want to worship you in this place. God, would you make this word come alive to us today? God, we praise you. And Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Well Podcast. If you would like more information and to stay connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. And remember, you are loved.